An hour and a half later, a freshly showered Juan Cabrillo strode into the operations center. Stone and Murphy were in their chairs at the helm and weapons control. Holly sat at the communications station, while Linda Ross covered the sonar suite. When Max entered a few minutes later, the atmosphere seemed to chill by a couple of degrees. He went straight to the engineering console without a word to anyone. Juan slid out of his chair and approached him.
"I don't want to hear it,"
Hanley said, not looking up from his computer monitor.
"We'll lay in a course for Pakistan, and I'll get someone on buying us plane tickets. In the morning, you and I are going to sit down together and figure out our next move."
Max glanced up at Cabrillo and was about to protest. Juan held up his hand.
"Someone kidnapped a member of your family. To me, it's the same as if they'd taken one of my parents. I would expect nothing less than your help, so don't expect me not to be here for you."
Max paused a beat before saying, "Thanks, Juan."
"Don't mention it."
He returned to the command chair. The matter settled. Suddenly, Holly Kasim piped up.
"Radar contact, Chairman. Just came on the scope at 100 miles out, bearing due east."
"Track it and keep me posted," Juan said.
Holly went on.
"The read from the passive sonar sounds as if she's derelict. No radar emissions or radio. Not even an automatic distress signal. If she's abandoned, Chairman, it could mean a pretty hefty salvage fee."
Juan was intrigued.
"Any idea how big she is?"
"By the sound of waves lapping against her hull, about the same size as our ship, 550 feet or so."
Cabrillo asked,
"What's our ETA?"
"Little over 2 hours."
By the light of the stars smeared across the night sky, she looked like a wedding cake, multiple tiers rising higher and higher, a delicate balance of form and function. Yet to the men and women in the op center studying the feed beamed back by a flying drone, she also looked like a ghost ship. Not a porthole was lit. Nothing stirred on her deck. Even the bar of her radar transmitter was stationary.
"What the hell happened here?"
Linda asked, knowing there couldn't possibly be an answer.
"Gomez, buzz the deck,"
Juan ordered. George Gomez Adams, the sometime drone controller and full-time pilot of the Oregon's helicopter, sat at a workstation at the rear of the op center, his slicked back and brilliantined hair shimmering in the dim neon glow of his computer. He ran a finger across his pencil mustache and eased the joystick forward. The UAV, nothing more than a commercial radio-controlled airplane fitted with powerful cameras and an extended transceiver, complied with his command, diving down toward the cruise ship lying dead in the water 30 miles east of the hard-charging Oregon. The crew watched expectantly as the tiny aircraft arced out of the sky and ran along the ship's starboard rail, the camera tracking along her deck. For several long seconds, it was quiet in the room, each person absorbed with what they were seeing. It was Cabrillo who finally broke the silence. He keyed his communications pad.
"Medical to the op center. Hux, we need you now."
"Are those what I think they are?" Eric Stone asked in a hushed whisper.
"Aye, lad," Max replied, equally subdued. "Her deck's littered with bodies.